I want to say to you this morning, I know you believe this, and I know you know this, that we can have complete and ultimate confidence in God's Word. We have God's Word without error. We have God's perfect, inspired, and preserved Word. We have it in the King James Bible. And we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for His Word that we can come to understand rightly divided, that also not just, it's not just a book. It's not just a book with God's Word, with some words in it, but it's God's Word. And it's a living Word. It's a Word that accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish and does what God set out for it to do. And so when you and I dealing with God's Word, we are dealing with God Himself. And as we take God's Word and it brings it and we believe it and trust it as it is His Word of truth, it works in us effectually. It furnishes us to what God's intent and purpose is for it to do. That is, that's an Afrikaans word, by the way. So every now and then you'll hear me some words coming out there. That's my first language and not my second language. But you just have to improvise at that time. But God's Word effectually works in us at belief. And it's a living a Word. So go with me to 1 Thessalonians, the passage that Brian has read this morning. The Thessalonian church is a church that Paul gave thanks to God for. And because they had a great work of faith. They had a great labor of love. And they had patience of the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why they had that and why they were such an effective church in Thessalonica is because they had the Word of God. They received it as the Word of God. And as they received it, it worked in them effectually in producing to them what God wanted to do. And we'll just have a look at that first quickly. Let's go read from verse 11 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as the Father doth His children, that ye would walk worthy of our God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. There's an instruction, there's a prayer, there's an indication in that verse that God wants him to walk worthy of God. And I think, and they did. Because there's something that they did. That ye might walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. For, verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, this is important, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in, what's the next word? Truth. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You want to walk worthy of God unto all pleasing? You want to walk worthy of God who hath called you into His kingdom and glory? You have to believe God's Word as it is, not the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And as you believe it, as you trust it, it works in you effectually. It produces the Christ life in you and it furnishes you to the purpose and intent that God has for you. You can't walk worthy of God without putting your nose in this book. If you go home today and you put this Bible on that shelf and you pick it up next week so you can come to church and have something that you can follow in, you are not faithful in the sense of acknowledging God's Word and taking it in. You need to take it in. God is doing something in eternity and you are part of what He's going to do in heaven and in the heavens. And as part of that, He is preparing you now for that eternal glory and for that time that we're going to spend in heaven. And we know when we get to heaven, there is going to be, before we enter into heaven as believers, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will receive a reward. And sometimes the reward is, for some of us, the reward is going to be a good reward. And for some of us, it's going to be a loss reward, if you will, if I can say it in that way. And so we will stand before the judgment seat. And for that we need to prepare us. And God has a purpose for you. God doesn't just save you. He says, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm saved by God's grace, amen, praise the Lord. I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. Is that good? Is that great? Oh, He is. Get excited about that. But that's not God's only intent and purpose. He saves you for a reason. And while you and I are functioning on this earth, He wants to equip us for the work of the ministry. Because we have to do the work of the ministry while we're on earth here. But also, that's not just for that purpose, it's also in preparing us for eternity. And we will be rewarded according to our faithfulness. Whether we believe or whether we believe not. Do you get that? And for that reason, you and I have to put our nose in the book. Another passage, if you will, go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go with me to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to go back to 1 Thessalonians and speak about the passage there and the word effectually there a little bit later. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 15 is a verse that all of you can just about quote for us, right? And it says, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? So again, you see the word of truth that effectually worketh in you that believeth, which is the word of God, that effectually worketh in you also that believeth. It's the word of truth that you and I have to study, and that you and I have to take in and consider and believe. And the reason why we need to study it is so that we can show ourselves what? Approved. Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What has God used? God used approved workmen. And you and I need to study. That word study there, and I always say this, it is not so, you know, like, who of you guys go to college? Well, is it still in high school or something, yeah? There's a college student there. There's a high school student there. When we end the exams comes up and you have to cram for the exams, don't you just love studying? No, I never loved studying, you know. Some of us do, I guess, but that's not the same study. This study is you come to God's Word and you take it as God's Word and you consider it, you meditate upon it, you're considering it, you're taking it in. He says in verse 7 there of the same passage, consider what I say and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Is he saying consider what I say, Paul, because it's my word, or is he because of what Paul is saying is the Word of God, the Word of truth, right? It says, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You and I want to have understanding in all things. And so in order for us to have understanding in all things, what do we need? We need to consider what God says, and specifically through the Apostle Paul here. And as we consider God's Word and rightly divide the Word of truth, we are workmen approved unto God. Not ashamed. Some of us, when we stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ, there will be some shame. Because it will be wood, hay, and what? Stubble. Instead of what? Gold, silver, and what? Precious stones. And so we have to study God's Word. That study there, like I said, it's not like you're studying a geography and history, like Brian likes to study history and stuff. We're not history guys, man. But he does a great job with that, and it's needed that he does that. You know? But God's Word, you read it as God's Word and you believe it and you trust it and it furnishes you and it makes you approved unto Him. Because you consider it as God's Word. And you and I need it, okay? Now, when it comes to, and we will be rewarded. Now I want to talk about I'm not going to talk in detail because when he asked me to talk about it, I wasn't really knowing what he was talking about every Sunday here. Until the night before I came here and I said, what is he talking about nowadays? And the tea is the judgment seat of Christ. So I'm like, oh boy, he's covering everything that I wanted to cover some of the stuff already. And he's going to cover some. So I'm not going to go into the details of that all, but I want to give you some things to think about. The reward for mystery saints. Who is mystery saints? Put up your hand if you're a mystery saint. Put up your hand if you're a prophetic saint. Nobody. We are mystery saints, and there's the reward that we're going to get, and the reward we're going to get is at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, every believer, if you have trusted Christ, and you heard the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and you heard that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you heard that you're condemned to eternal damnation, but God wants to extend to you the gift of eternal life through the finished work that Christ has done for us, through His death, burial, and resurrection, and you trust Christ for your salvation, that moment you get trust, you're a saint. You get baptized into the body of Christ and you get identified with Christ and you have eternal life. And that makes you a saint. And if you're that saint and if you're that believer, you will stand. You're not going to escape it. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We all will. Okay? And every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and that's going to take place straight after the rapture. And that meeting is going to be in the air with that judgment seat of Christ before He presents us to the Father. And that's going to take place also before the 7 years of the prophetic program, when the prophetic program resumes. Okay? And what you and I need for that judgment seat is to be motivated to service by allowing Christ to live through us. It's important for us to study so that you and I know our orders for today. Do you know what your instructions? You can't come to the judgment seat of Christ and say, "Oh Lord, I don't know what are the instructions." Because God has furnished us with that. He's given that to us. It's in His Word. Okay? But we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will receive a reward. What is the reward? When you reward somebody, why do you reward them? You give them a what? You give them a reward as a prize. It's a payment or recompense for merit, for service or achievement. But in this sense, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I want you to get this. This is very essential. This is quintessential that you get that. I also know some educated words every now and then, okay? The reward that we will receive is an expression of God's grace and is dispensed on a grace basis. Even when we receive the reward there. When you say, "God, you know, I'm here for judgment seat of Christ, I want your reward." That's not what you're going to get. You're going to get that because of grace. Because when you believe God's Word, it works in you, affects you that believe. It is the Christ life that lives in you. It's not longer I that liveth, but who? Christ that liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, right? I have no glory when it comes even to the judgment seat of Christ. It's all what He has done. And so when I do receive a reward, it's on the basis, not of my merit, but it's on the basis of His grace that I even receive that reward. Do you get that? So if you go out and say, "Well, I'm going to start really living a Christian life so that I can get a reward." You're going to fail. But if you say, "Lord, you know, my desire is to know Your Word and the truth of Your Word, and I want to, and I want to know what Your instruction for me, and I want to understand You got Your Word rightly divided. I want to study it as that, and I want to consider it as that." And as you take it in, it starts working you effectually. You're not out of control Him. You've just trusted what God has said, and He does the work in you, and then He rewards you for that. Isn't that a wonderful, graceful God? Isn't that wonderful mercy? So that's just what God does. He's going to get that reward as an expression of His grace. Every one of you and I has the means to accomplish His call on our lives and His call upon duty by the means of His Word and the filling of the Holy Ghost. As God's Word is be filled with the Spirit of God, as His Word dwells in us richly, as we believe it and trust it, we have to be filled with the Spirit, right? We have to have God's Word dwelling in us richly. And if it, as it dwells in us richly, it furnishes us. It works in us because it's a living Word. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says the Word of God is what? Quick. That's not like... But it's alive. When He's quickened us together with Him, He's made us alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, etc., 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 right? It's a living Word. And it works in us. And it furnishes us. And that's why we have to put it in us. What I want you to understand also about when we get to the reward issue, the issue of there is a separation we have to make between salvation and reward. You have to distinguish between those two, the salvation and reward. Salvation is a present possession that we have. Salvation from the penalty of sin and the gift of eternal life is a free gift to all that simply believe in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's salvation. You understand that? You get that. You have that. You have an inheritance. And by the way, you're a joint heir with God. You're an heir of God, and you are a joint heir with who? Christ. Based on what? Your salvation. Not based on your merit. Okay? And so, salvation is a present possession, and salvation is not something that you can earn, and it's not something we receive by merit upon service. Romans chapter 4, go with me there quickly. Romans chapter 4. If you're this morning here, and you've never trusted Christ, you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternal life, you've never heard the gospel purely, you always thought it's something that you have to do in order for you to get eternal life, something that you have to give up, a certain prayer that you have to say, a certain aisle that you have to walk for you to get eternal life. So you don't know for sure if you have eternal life. What you need to do is trust Christ. Trust that He died for your sins, trust that He was buried for you, and trust that He was raised again for your justification. That moment that you trust that moment that you believe that moment you get saved, not based on what you did, but based on His grace. Okay? And you have to receive it as that in Romans chapter 4, if you will, and verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of what? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified ungodly, his faith is counted for what? So it's the issue of faith, it's not the issue of work, and the issue is, verse 4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. So, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's how you receive salvation, on the basis of faith, on the basis of God's grace. It's not works, it's what? It's faith, it's grace. That's what God gives us, not because of a debt. And the reward is a similar thing. But it's a little bit different in the sense of the reward. It's the future attainment that you're going to get. You don't have that reward yet that you will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. You have the promise of the reward by the effectual working word of God in you. But only when you get to the at the judgment seat of Christ will we receive the reward or suffer the loss of reward. Do you get that? But do you have salvation right now? Are you complete in Christ right now? Are you blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now? Yes, you have all that right now. But do you have to study to show yourself approved unto God? Do you need to get out there and understand God's will and understand His Word? Do you need to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God which is your reasonable service? Why? Because that's God's intended purpose. Now you need to exercise faith, and you need to exercise will and choice, and to now go into God's Word and trust it. And it's based upon that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You get that? Did somebody say no? Because I can't repeat it again. I just didn't remember what I said now. Anyway, the judgment will not be the judgment for sin. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, it will not be a judgment for sin. Okay? Only work will be judged. As sin has been already been judged, where? At the cross. It's been dealt with. Past, present, and future, taken care of. I don't have to worry, I'm going to get to the judgment seat of Christ. Ooh, is he going to remember that sin that I did? No, sin has been taken care of. The reward is an issue of service. Okay? Because sin has been taken care of the cross. Okay? Because Christ took all our sin upon Himself on the cross. Took our past, present, and future. Nailed it to the cross. So the rewards is something that's going to happen. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will there, quickly go there. And I'm not going into a lot of details here, because I want to get to the end of what I want to speak about this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 says, henceforth, Paul says, and I'm not going to talk about the crowns. I believe I asked Brian this morning, he said he's going to talk about that. That's going to be an exciting study when you look at the crowns. And where they fit in which dispensation, etc. But this is henceforth, Paul says in verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. When is that day? at the judgment seat of Christ. That day refers to the judgment seat of Christ, okay? That's when you will receive that reward, and that's the crown of righteousness, okay? You and I as believers in the church, we will be standing before the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture. The nation of Israel will at their second coming. And there's some verses that indicate that. I'm not going to go into the details of that this morning, okay? Jesus Christ, now who's going to execute the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, right? Turn with me over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as we're going to start talking about that, you know the passage. I know the passage has been, you've been given the passage, and you've been taught on this passage. But turn with me there, and let's go read from verse 8, if you will. Jesus Christ is the one who's going to be judge us. Has been given to the Son, the judgment, okay? As you turn there, let me ask you again, who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Will it be all believers, or will it be all believers? Alright? That's made simple for you, okay? It will be all believers will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. All of us, and we all have to. And we're going to look at some verses there quickly, but let's go read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep your hand in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and go with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans 14, if you will. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and let's go read there. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor." Labor means work, you know, in light of what he said in first 8 verses. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." When he says, what does he mean by accepted of Him? Are we already made accepted in the Beloved? So what is this issue about we may be accepted of Him? Is that the same issue of the completeness and the standing we have? Or is this the issue of reward? Is this the issue of service? And it's the walk of the believer, right? Okay? So he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, who's we? Which believers? He's writing to the Corinthian church. Is he writing to unbelievers or is he writing to believers? He's writing to believers. He says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So there's a receiving, there's a reception that's going to take place at that judgment seat of Christ for whether things are good or whether things are bad that you and I have done in our bodies. Is he talking about, you know, you smoke nicotine, cigarettes? Oh, you're going to receive because you smoke. That's what you're going to... Is that what he's going to report? No. What do you put in your body? You take God's Word in and you let it dwell in you richly and it affects you and you present your body as a living sacrifice, not based on what you do, but based on what you believe. The issue is what you do with God's Word. Do you get that? So it's important. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest unto your consciousness." Let me say with you this. Don't live your life as, "Oh, I'm so scared what God's going to do with me. He's going to punish me." You know, God's already punished sin on the cross. But we have respect of God, right? We reverence Him. We reverence Christ. And so what we want to do is what God is, the purpose that He saved for us, we want to make sure that we're in line of that, with that. That we walk by faith in light of that. You understand what I'm saying? Go with me to Romans chapter 14, if you will. Romans chapter 14. I'm sure your Pastor O'Brien is to say these things that I'm saying to you, you know, in a much more eloquent way. But you get what I'm saying, I guess, right? In Romans chapter 14 verse 10 says, But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall, not perhaps, or could perhaps, who knows when, whatever. It says, but we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to what? You can't come and say, oh, it was Brian. He failed to teach me. He failed to instruct me. It's all his fault. Because every one of us, a believer, has a responsibility to the truth of God's Word, to study it, to know it, to understand it, and to let it work in us effectually. You can't point to your wife or your husband. You're going to point. You can't point to anybody. Because you're going to give account of yourself. You get that? So we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We start talking about the conditions of receiving rewards and the criteria of Christ's judgment of every believer. What is the conditions of for the receiving these rewards and the criteria of Christ's judgment of every believer? We know, we've already seen now that every believer will give an account, which is every one of you that has trusted Christ. Now, by the way, if you've never trusted Christ, if you're not saved, you don't know for sure we ever spend eternal life, you never trusted Christ, never trusted the finished work of Christ, guess what? You don't have to worry about standing before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to have to worry about standing before the great white throne judgment. Well, you will end up, after that judgment, into the eternal lake of fire. So why don't you just trust Christ and escape that? And look forward to the judgment seat of Christ. You see, when I look at the judgment seat of Christ, I am fearful in the sense of a reverential fear of God, because I don't want to fail when I stand there. I want to have wood. I don't want to have wood and stubble. I want to have gold, silver, and precious stones. And I honestly, my studying is to know God's Word, and I trust that it equips me and that the knowledge, wisdom, knowledge and understanding that I have of God's Word and its effectual work within me, I would be rewarded for that. And I'm not standing here confident, I'm standing here almost looking forward to that. But there in myself there is also this understanding that, I don't want to fail that day. I don't want to suffer loss. Because who wants to suffer loss? Right? If you don't want to suffer loss, and we don't want to suffer loss, we need to get our nose in the book. We also must not believe what man tells us, but we have to believe what God's Word says as the Word of truth. Right? Because it's going to work effectively. It's going to furnish me. It's going to make me what it needs to make me. Okay? Now with me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. Again, that's the same principle there. For we are laborers together with God. He are God's husbandry. He are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, says Paul, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So that tells me the foundation has been laid. The master builder has laid the foundation. Paul has laid the foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ and what he said in there. He says, now you and I have to take what? Heed how we build thereupon. And depending on what materials we build upon that foundation, that materials is what we're going to be judged upon. And he says there in verse 11, says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, what? Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's, what? Singular work shall be made manifest. Now let's go, you know, what is he saying there? We all shall stand before the judgment of Christ. And when we stand before when we come there, every man's work shall be made what? So when Brian is standing there, his work will be manifest. When I'm standing there, my work will be manifest. When Becky stands there, her work will be manifest. When John stands there, her work will be manifest. And it will see of what sort it is. Is it the good materials or the bad materials? What is it? Let's see how the work stands. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Again, there is that issue of that day. What day? Judgment seat of Christ. That day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? What is fire in the Bible about? What is the fire a type of and talking about? Judgment, okay? So be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. When I read that, I remember, you see, I know you guys are all spiritual people. You don't watch movies, right? But when you watch an old movie and a guy gives you a piece of gold and pays for the gold, what do the guys normally do? They try it. Is it? Yep, it's the right. It's a real deal. And the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If it's gold, silver, or precious stones, will that be just burned up? No. You know what's going to happen? Even if there's impurities in it, it will be cleansed. It will be purified even more. But hood, hay, and stubble, what will happen to that in fire? It's gone. Okay? And verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide. Now what's going to abide? Of gold, silver, and precious stones, hood, hay, and stubble. What will abide? Alright, okay. If any man's works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? A reward. Every one of us. And if there's some gold and some silver and precious stones in there, we will receive a reward accordingly. Right? Hood, hay, and stubble, there's nothing to abide. What will we receive a reward? We will receive a reward, but the reward is not the reward as gold, silver, and precious stones. It will be a receive a reward of loss. Because you'll receive nothing. Because we'll stand there and say, oh, but we'll still be saved so as by what? Fire. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I honestly don't desire to be part of verse 15. Who of you desire to be part of verse 15? Nobody, right? We want to have gold, silver, and precious stones, right? And for us to have that, we need to have God's Word effectually working in us. We need to let God work in us. We need to let Christ live. And the way that you let Christ live, and the way that you get God work, is by you allowing and believing His Word as you're trusting it to work in you effectually and produce in you the desired result that God needs has for it. Do you get that? Did you get that? Good. Even if you don't know, just say yes, then I know I can move on. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, quickly there. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8, he says, verse 6 says, verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 6. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And by the way, how are you going to do the will of God from the heart? Right? You're going to have the renewed mind, the renewed heart. And that's Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. Not transformed. Transformed. Okay? You need to get it right. Okay? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is a good and perfect and what? Acceptable will of God. Right? For you to prove that good, perfect, and acceptable, you see gold, silver, precious stones? See a connection there? or try to make a connection there. I'm going to show you something just now that will blow your mind, or you'll throw me out the door, either or. It says, where was I? Verse what verse? Verse 6 says, not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. By the way, this passage is not saying what you're going to go out and say, oh, I'm going to do Lord's service and I'm going to help the Lord. I'm going to do things for the Lord so that He can be, that I can be accepted of Him in my service. No, no, he's saying it all God's got to do with the renewing of the mind. It's all got to do with you trusting God's word and it working in you effectually. You understand what I'm saying? He says, now, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So, what we do is we're going to receive a reward for that. You understand? Okay, now, again, now I want to bring you to this point where I want to say, every believer will give an account. We talk about these good works that we need to do, that we are saved unto. A couple of verses I wanted to do, go with me, is Ephesians chapter 2, your own book of Ephesians chapter 2, but I also want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, if you will. 2 Timothy 3:16. And but go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace are ye what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God, not of what? Works. Lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in who? Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? So did God before ordain that we should walk in good works? In order for us to walk in good works, what do we need? What do you and I need in order to walk in good works? We need Christ Jesus, right? Because for us to do good works that's going to be pleasing unto God, we need to be in Christ Jesus, because He says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The way that we're going to please the Father is in Christ Jesus. Unto good works with God before the day that we should walk in them. God's desire is for us to walk in good works. And He says, you know what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Our good works are like filthy rags, says the book of Isaiah, right? Not ours, but it's from the nation of Israel there specifically. But it's the same principle, man, okay? So He can't, our goodness He can't use. So what does He need to do? He saves us by His grace, by the finished work of His Son, places us into His Son, equips us now, being able to do good works. That's His desire. You know what I see in all of this? I see the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. Because I see, and you see, you know what I see? He says, this, trust me, believe what I say to you, have faith in what I say to you. When you have faith in my Son, I will furnish you. And if you have faith in what I say and my word says to you, I will do the work. Death, get out of the way. Just believe me. You know? He says in Colossians, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? How did you receive Him? By grace through faith. How many of you walk in Him? By the same principle by you received Him. Right? And if we want to be walking pleasing unto the Lord, how do we walk? Have to walk? By grace through? Believing His Word. He does all the work. He talks about in Corinthians about every man shall have praise of God. It's not so much this, oh, you're a wonder, you were a great soldier for me, you're so wonderful. No, it's what my Son has done with you. And you will be rewarded because you allowed Him to do that. Did you get that? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know the verse. I need to move. What time did we go to? Oh, good. Thanks, brother. You're a man after my own heart. You're a man after a preacher's heart. Specifically, a grace preacher's heart, okay? Verse 16 says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's all Scripture. That's not just the Pauline Scriptures. That's all Scripture. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? For what is it profitable? What is it going to do? What's the intent of it? Well, let's look further. It says that the reason for this is that the man of God. Now, who's the man of God? Becky, are you the man of God? No, you are the man of God. That's the answer I'm looking for. Okay? In the sense of the passage, you're the man of God. That the man of God... By the way, she promised me to 2004 to make me some brownies. She never made it. And it's 2014 and she still never made it. It's 10 years later. Okay. So all Scripture God has given, all Scripture has given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. I'm not going to deal with what each one of those things are saying. But the reason for that is that the man of God may be what? Perfect, truly furnished unto some good works. No, fully furnished unto all good works. When Paul meets the Ephesian elders, as he's at Miletus, when he's on his travel, he doesn't want to go back into Ephesus. He calls the elders out to meet him. He gave him some last instruction in Acts chapter 20. He says, now I commend you to the word of his grace that will be able to do what? To build you up. It's going to furnish you. Okay? And the word of his grace was going to build us up again. If any man build upon this, gold, silver, and precious. You see the building there? The build up as members of the body of Christ? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's desire is for us to be furnished unto all good works. He has provided for us how to be furnished unto all good works. It's in Christ Jesus. And what He desires for us is to get in His Word, to study His Word, to believe His Word, and it will furnish us. It will equip us for the work and the good works. And make us perfect. Am I perfect in Christ Jesus when I got saved? Made acceptable and complete in Him? Yes. But in my service, in my walk, and I just have to ask some of you, are you walking according to, in light of, that He wanted you to walk? And if you don't study, guess what? You're the Word of God, and you don't believe, God's Word is not effectively working in you. You want to be furnished. In Colossians, should I do this now or not? In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, he talks about Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. I'm sorry, you guys are still turning there and I'm reading already. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That is not the same perfect and complete in the will of God that Colossians 2 verse 10 is talking about. You are complete in Christ. That's your standing. That's what you received in Christ Jesus. You received everything that you need to be the saint that God has foreordained that you should walk in Him. But you now have to be responsible and make the choice to get into His Word, to study His Word, to let it dwell in you richly, to be filled with the Spirit, same thing, and that the Word of God effectually work in you that believe, so what? You can stand perfect and clear in all the will of God. It's a process as we study, as we get through the Scriptures. Paul says in Corinthians, he's talking about, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We talk about the reward being a price, and I need to move on because I can see we're not going to have enough time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23 says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may what? Is there instruction? Is there instruction to the believer? The independent, complete man in Christ, the man that's been made accepted in the Beloved, the man that has been called a saint, a man that's been called a member of the body of Christ, a man that's been called part of the church. Is there instruction for you so run that you may obtain? Yes. That means pressing on in the truth, in the Word. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that obtain a corruptible crown, but we what? An incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I as not one that beateth the air, but I keep it under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? A castaway. A castaway. That word castaway, I see it as the opposite of what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, as a man approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You could be a man that's not approved unto God. You can be like this, like a castaway. That means doesn't mean you're not saved. That means just you haven't run so that you may obtain. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. What is the emphasis that I'm pushing on to you here? Is that we need to be faithful in the truth of God's Word. We need to faithful and get His Word in us. Believe, not just getting in us, but believing it so that it can work in us. And I'll get to that now, but that it can work in us and furnishes us. That's what God's Word does for us, and that's what God wants His Word to do for us. Paul's talking about a desire to have the resurrected life, not that he has apprehended, he says, go with me to verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth on those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the, what is the next word? Prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How do you press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? You get on with the business. You get in His Word. You get to understand it and you get every detail of it. So you can be furnished. Good works is going to be the result of good doctrine. That comes from rightly dividing the Word of truth. And as you put your nose in the book and as we put our nose in the book, we don't just study it because you know what? There's one thing that I've always said, and I've been saying this on a regular basis nowadays. If you come to this church or to any Grace church or listen to any Grace preacher because you want to see how right you can be and how wrong everybody else can be, okay? You attain some knowledge about right division and difference and the distinct difference between Paul and Peter and between the body of Christ and the nation of Israel. Let me tell you something. That knowledge is dangerous because it will puff you up. Knowledge should be used with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not one on each. You can't have wisdom without knowledge. You can't have spiritual understanding without knowledge, but you have to need knowledge. You need knowledge, you need wisdom, and you need spiritual understanding. That's what makes you complete and perfect in all the will of God. It's knowledge, wisdom, and spirit. And that's why Paul is praying over and over for the same thing, and we'll get there now. But here's the thing. The good works that we're going to do, that we're going to be rewarded for, the work that we'll be rewarded for, is based on the doctrine that we've taken on. Okay? Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I wish I could read the whole chapter, but I encourage you to read that chapter in one go, not just once. But read it through maybe 10 times. At one sitting, and see, I'm telling you, the more you read it, the more it will just, the emphasis of the issue of being, of believing God's Word, the issue of getting and trusting God's Word and being faithful to furnish you is going to come out of here. He's talking to Timothy in the first part of the chapter, therefore my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He needs to be strong in the grace that is where? in Christ Jesus. Okay? Commit the same things that I've committed unto faithful men, shall teach other faithful men. Then he says, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, no man at war entangle himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him when we have chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5, and if a man strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. There is a way that you have to strive lawfully, you know, and there's only one way that you can do it. Is by rightly dividing the word of truth and studying it as the word of truth, and believe it and let it work in you effectually. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of food. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now let's jump a few verses. Verse 11 says, well, verse 10 says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. It's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall all be live with him. Let me ask you, I trust that all of you guys are saved, right? Inside of you. So he says, verse 11 says, a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Let me ask you, are you an heir of God? Are you a joint heir with Christ? Are you going to live with him? Based on what? Based on trusting Christ, right? Based on his finished work on the cross. If we be dead with him, we shall also what? Does that sound like Romans chapter 6? We buried with him. Or we died with him, we buried with him, we risen with him, right? If we dead with him, we shall also what? Live with him. Fact. If we suffer, we shall also what? Reign with him. If we deny him, he will also what? Deny us. Now how would you deny him? How will you deny the Lord if he, for him to deny us, when will he deny you? For eternal life or denying you as a reward issue? Let me ask you this. He says, if we, who's we? Who's writing the book of Timothy? Paul, he's writing to who specifically here? Timothy. Timothy was an unsaved man, right? No, he's a saved man, right? He was a saint of the Most High. Right? He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We know we're going to reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. What will he deny us? A reward. How will you deny him? Service. Believing what he says. Because he says there, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. How will you not believe? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? If you get your nose into the book and you believe it, guess what? You believe. And if you believe God's word, it works in you effectually. And it furnishes you unto every good work, right? So that's believing there. Being faithful in God's word. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Now some will not be faithful. Some will not taking the word in and believe it, and so that it can work in us. Look at with that, go with me back to 1 Thessalonians. Stop before you go back to 1 Thessalonians. Let's carry on there quickly. Verse 30 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about with words, to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Who's the they that they need to instruct? The faithful men. That he's going to instruct, the people he's going to instruct. Study, and then he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly wording, dividing the word of truth. Okay? It's the issue of studying. It's the issue of getting into the scriptures, taking it in, and allowing it to work, and furnishing what God is, being furnished to every good work that God's intent for us is. So that you can be approved unto God, a workman that not, don't go about striving about words and what have you. Get in the Word. Go with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, if we believe not, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 there, if we believe not, verse 13, here's the issue here. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what?" Who's he talking to? Believers or believers? Right, he's talking to the believers. Is he talking to some effective believers that's getting on with the work of the ministry according to chapter 1? Yes. It says, and you know, because the word of God effectually worketh also in you that believe. It furnishes you unto every good work. You're doing this work in Macedonia and all the, every other place where the name of God, where the name of Christ is not named. You're going out there spreading the word. Why are you doing it? Because you received the word of God, not as word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. If we believe not, yet abideth faithful. Yes, the issue, you need to believe. Believe what? The word of God. And it furnishes you. And it effectually furnishes you. Now let me tell you, if you don't get attention to the doctrine, and if you don't give attention to the word of God and it rightly divided specifically, you could be robbed of your reward if you believe false doctrine. Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to get back to Thessalonians here, but Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. He's talking about the influence of the law and stuff like that. You know, he's already talking about verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance which is against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There's the influence of the law and things in that church there. But he says, verse 18, he says, "Let no man beguile you of your what?" What reward? When will this reward be? Judgment seat of Christ. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshipping of angels and intruding those things which you have not seen, vainly puffed up by the fleshly mind." You know what I believe of that passage? You have all these programs talking about angels and stuff. Let me tell you something. If you see an angel today, you better run. Okay? He says in Colossians chapter 2, he says, just read that verse quickly there. "And your reward of your voluntary humanity in the worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen." You know what he's saying? He's intruding to things that he's not seen. He thinks he saw it, but he didn't see it. Don't let them rob you of your reward. What do you need to do? Get your nose in a book. Understand some things. Know that angels doesn't minister to us and function in the body of Christ here. Know some things about that, okay? Get away from all that stuff. Now back to the effectual working word. Okay? God's design... I'll tell you what. Subject is too big here. God's design is your edification. It's to build you up. His word of His grace to build you up and to build us up. It's to furnish us unto every good work. And the way to do it is He establishes us. He's the one that's going to be established up. His word is going to be one that establishes us. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 quickly. And I'm going to go quickly here, and I'm not going to spend too much detail there, but Romans chapter 1. As Paul writes out and he starts out in the book of Romans and he's going to instruct the saints at Rome, and he's writing to the church there, verse 1 says, and verse 11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end he may be what?" So he's going to give him a bunch of information from this chapter to the end of, by the end of chapter 16, by the which he says, when I'm giving you this and you take note of this, it will, by the end, the result that may be that I'm desire for you is that he may be what? Established. You get some things and it could be some grounded. But if you go to the end of chapter 16, if you will go with me to the end of chapter 16, and verse 25, you have to come as you hear this truth in the book of Romans, as you believe it, and your mind is renewed by it. Somebody else is going to establish you. Paul's going to give you the information that will give you a permanent, that will give you to establish you, but somebody else, God Himself, is the one that's going to establish you. Now look at verse 25. "Now to Him..." Who's the him there? God. Verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now to him that is of power to what? To establish you. Now it's not to establish, but it's the one that's now going to fix you permanently. And establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The only way that God's going to establish us is according to Paul's my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Doesn't that sound like the doctrine we attached ourselves to today and we trust and believe today? That's what's going to establish you and give you a place of permanence. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2 quickly. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So who's the one, according to Romans 16, verse 25, that's going to establish you? Christ, God, alright? Now go with me, Colossians chapter 2, and verse 6 says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up where? In Him, in whom? Christ, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So God wants established saints. Let me ask you, are you an established saint? And for you to be established saint, and for us to be established saint, to be fixed permanently, we need to be rooted and built up where? I'm commending you to the word of His grace that's able to what? To build you up. You see that? Building up. Rooted and built up in Him, it's in Christ, and established in the faith. That's what you and I believe, as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? That's the one thing that you can take to note here. When you get to God's Word and you study it, God, that's your word of truth. Your word of truth says, and ye are complete in Him. Him is Christ, which is the head of all principality. Wow. The scripture says, I as a member of the body of Christ am complete in Him. And He's the head of all principality and power. Wow. I believe that. You know when I believe that, you know what I do? Oh Father, I thank You that You have made me complete in Him. He is the head of all principality and power, and I've been made complete in Him. I'm thankful for that. You know what you say when you're thankful for it? You affirm what you believe. You won't affirm what you don't believe. When you come with a thankful attitude to it, you're thankful because you believe it. And it establishes you, makes you stable, it makes you unmovable, it makes you steadfast, it makes you rooted and grounded, built up in Christ, fixed permanently, a fixed permanent position produced by God. You are not anymore now tossed. Who spoke about tossed to and fro earlier? Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 quickly. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Let's go read verse 13 says. In Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a what? Perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? What for? That we henceforth be no more what? Children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness where we lie in wait to deceive. Before God's word was completed, God spoke and God gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, only until a certain time. I believe, and I maybe you guys disagree with me, but I believe till we all come in the unity of the faith, it's still the completion of God's word, and I understand what is the perfect man now and God's perfect will for us is. Now I can come to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth, for the reason that I need to be that perfect man, coming to that knowledge and unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. I'm going to be a mature man now in Christ, a perfect man, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. When somebody comes in and preaches a contrary doctrine, hopefully it's not me this morning, but you know, if somebody comes, you're not going to be tossed to and fro by what I'm saying, because you are fixed permanently, established in the faith as a mature saint. And because you're established in the faith, you won't be tossed to and fro. It works now effectually in you, and you receive a reward that's gold, silver, and precious stones. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it to you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Who's going to establish us? Who's faithful? You or God? God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, comfort your heart and establish in every good work. God is doing that. God's word furnishes us truly. And that's why you and I need to be not conformed to this world, but we need to transform by the renewing of our mind. God's word effectually works in us to believe. Let's get to that passage quickly there. Effectually works in us to believe. 1 Thessalonians. And I'm just going to start closing off here. I'm not sure how long I've been going. Any idea? Who cares, right? You guys don't care because you're all very spiritual people that don't mind how long we preach the Word of God. Eh? Even if I preach for 2 hours, you're going to be praise the Lord and hallelujahing for that, right? Because if you're a mature saint, you can sit here for 3 hours and I can preach to you. And if you start looking at your watch, well, I don't know. I'm just joking, guys. I'm just joking. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this cause also, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That word effectually, you and I need to take very close consideration of the word effectually. It's not used, the word effective is not used, but the word effectually is used, or the word effectual. By the way, the King James translators never used the word effective. Never ever. They used the word effectual. Because there's a reason for that. And it's a reason that we need to understand, okay? That seems to be, there's not a big difference between effectual and effective. Isn't it the same thing? Maybe some of you grammar guys is, that's the same thing. Well, I'm going to disagree with you. And I'm not a grammar guy, by the way. I'm just a Bible believer. All right. Effect, the root word is the word effect. It brings something about. It produces a result. So the word effect brings something about. It produces something. Some think that the word effectual is an older use of the more common word effective, but it's not so. There was a specific reason why effectual was used there, because it produces a desired result. There's some other scriptures that the word effectual appear, and I ask you to go and maybe look it up in a concordance, or look up every verse where the word effectual appears and see how it's appearing and what it says in light of what I'm going to say to you this morning, and search the scriptures whether these things are so or not. Don't believe me because I'm saying it, okay? But in Galatians 1:18, let's go a few verses there quickly. Galatians 1:18. The word effectual appears there. In Galatians 1 verse 18 says, okay, so if you're at Galatians 1:18, you're at the wrong passage, okay? But I guess you figured that one out as you looked at the verse, right? Let's go to Galatians 1 verse 8, alright? But though we... If you, I'm obviously not the perfect man, you know. But go with me to Galatians 2. And I think I'm gonna get it. My note says 1:18, and then I fixed it to 1:8. And now I'm gonna fix everything to 2:8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty into me toward the Gentiles. Okay, so God and the Christ Jesus, who effectually who wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision. Peter had the doctrine given to him so he can be a minister of the circumcision and preach the gospel of the circumcision. And he was an apostle of the circumcision, but it says God wrought effectually in Peter to that position. God produces a desired result for Peter to do something. And to do that, that word effectual means there. Go with me down to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. We were just now there, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, we just read verse 14 there. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Verse 16 says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the," what is the next word there? "The effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in" what? The body of Christ unto the edifying of self. And to do that, it needs what? An effectual working. Every part needs to effectually produce the desired result. My pinky cannot be doing what my big toe does. There's only one intent and purpose that the pinky is produced compared to the toe, etc., etc., etc. It effectually produces a desired result. Go with me to Philemon chapter 6, and we're going to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13, but go to Philemon and verse 6. Did I say chapter 6? I did? Paul is writing to Philemon. In verse 3, in the book of Philemon, verse 3, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my" what? Prayers. "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." Philemon obviously was a faithful minister, and he loved the saints, and the love that he has for the Lord Jesus and toward the saints. Okay, verse 6 says, and he says, "As I thank my God, I make mention of thee in my prayers," and I'm praying for something as well as I'm hearing of this, and I'm thanking God for your love and your faith, which you have toward the Jesus and toward all saints. But verse 6 says, "That the communication of thy faith may become" what? "Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you," in who? Oh, can you see now the point I'm going to try to make here, that effectually it produces a desired result? But for him to do that, for his communication of his faith to become effectual, he needs to do what? He needs to acknowledge of every good thing which is in you, in who? Now let me ask you, where do you find where every good thing in you is? In Christ Jesus. Where would you find that information? Would you get saved? Did you sleep tight and God by supernatural dreams give you everything that you know that you have in Christ Jesus? Or does He say, no, consider my scriptures, my word, and I'm going to tell you what you've been finished. This is my instruction manual, and it tells you what you've been made in Christ Jesus. And as you acknowledge this and you get this in God's word, then the communication of your faith becomes what? Effectual. It produces the desired result, because now it's not what you do, but it's what God can do. Right? And it's what God has done in us. That's the word effectual. It produces the desired result. It's the only legitimate, acceptable way of doing something, the word effectual means. Okay? It's not effective. You know, my wife, I tell a story about my wife. I tried to help. Now, men, you guys know, you all try to help your wives at home sometimes, right? Yes, we do. She asked me to vacuum one day. She had to go do something. And she asked me to vacuum. By the way, just now the other day, a friend of one guy at the church, he phoned me and says,
I said, oh, I need to go vacuum quickly. And he started laughing so hard because I said, I'm going to vacuum quickly. He says, vacuum? Ha, 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 ha. A man doesn't vacuum. So I called his wife over and said he laughed at me because I vacuumed. And so he was in trouble with his wife. But she asked me to vacuum. She had to go somewhere. And I'm like, oh, okay, I take the vacuum cleaner and I vacuum. And I thought I was pretty effective. Yeah, I vacuumed everything on the floor. But apparently, according to my wife, I was not effectual. I was effective. I vacuumed. And she says, no, 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 no. You need to dust first from the top. And then once it all falls on the ground, then you can go and vacuum. So I thought I was effective, and I was to degrees. You guys say you was pretty effective, but I wasn't effectual. You see, effective way can be many ways to get a result, but it's not always going to get the desired result. The effectual working of God's Word gets the desired result. Okay, if something is effectual, you should not be replacing it by some other means or method. So go back with me to Titus, and I'm finishing off here. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. Okay? It produces the fully adequate result. The best possible way that God has intended for it to be. And for you need to follow not the 12 steps that your church gives you, not the 40 days of purpose, not any of that junk. What you need to do is get your word in God, your notes in God's book, rightly divide it, study it, consider it, and as you believe it as the word of truth, it produces in you the desired result that God has for you to walk by faith and walk in light of what He has made you to be. And for that, when you do that, you get rewarded with gold, silver, and precious stone. Okay? Now, by the way, can I take 5 minutes or so? No. So Lily is saying I need to close off. Okay. I will do that. I will respect that. I won't do what he does at my church, but anyway. When he speaks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when he talks about gold, silver, and precious stones, I've started looking at that. And, you know, we can liken it to what is good and accept, Romans chapter 12, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, okay? And so we can look at that. But as I look at gold, Paul prays for the saints in Colossians. He says that, and I'm going to very quickly give it to you, in Colossians chapter 1, and we see this over and over in scriptures. As he's praying for the saints, he says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, for this cause also since we daily heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in what? All wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. For you to might walk worthy of the Lord, you need to what? You need to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding, okay? Knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. If you go back in the scriptures and you look at the book of Proverbs and the book of Daniel, you will see the words wisdom and knowledge and understanding coming up over and over in different passages. Go look it up in the concordance. But as you come to the book of Proverbs chapter, and I'm just going to read you the verses quickly. I'm not going to let you turn there. And if you want to get the verses from me, come to me and ask it for me, and I'll give it to Brian to give it to you. But Daniel says in the verse, chapter 11, 38 says, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew shall be honored with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Now Proverbs 16, verse 16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than what? Gold. And to get understanding rather than what? Silver. Okay? Proverbs chapter 20 verse 15 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious, what? Jewel. Proverbs 24 verse 4 says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and precious and present riches. Wisdom is likened with gold, understanding with silver, and knowledge is the precious jewel. Okay? And so when I go and I look at something that is now wood, hay, and stubble, wood is the opposite of gold, which is being unwise. We know what the scripture says about Ephesians chapter 5 of being unwise. About hay, no understanding, what the Romans chapter 1 says, and etc., etc. Stubble without knowledge. And it's interesting as you do this, and that Paul praying for you to be filled with all knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding, those three go hand in hand, and that's the equipping of the saint to become you to the perfect man as you walk in by faith in light of what God wants to produce into you. You get wisdom, you get knowledge, wisdom, and what? And understanding. And that is the things as God's word effectually works and it produces unto you effectually. And you as a man now start walking by knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is a dangerous thing on its own. Remember I said that? But with wisdom and spiritual understanding, knowledge is a fantastic thing. It's a God-equipped thing. So how do we get that? Well, we give attention to God's Word. And we believe it as God's Word, as the Word of truth. And it will work as us effectually. And we will be filled as we trust God's Word with wisdom, knowledge, and what? Understanding. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive reward because it will be gold, silver, and what? Precious stones. It won't be wood, hay, and stubble. But for it to be gold, silver, and precious stones, you need to put your nose, we need to put our nose in this book and understand what the will of the Lord is.